Are you ready for your next winter adventure? Whether it's a stylish all-wheel drive SUV to get the family where they need to go, or an innovative EV to make the switch to electric, ChevyDriveChicago.com has you covered. With Equinox, Traverse, Silverado, Trax, and Trailblazer, you're sure to find the perfect Chevy to match your needs and lifestyle. But finding the right car is only part of the story. Winter weather is here, and your vehicle needs to be ready for anything. From oil changes and tire rotations to unexpected repairs, your local Chevy dealer is here to help. Their team of experts knows your vehicle, and they will make sure your car is safe, reliable, and ready to handle whatever the season brings. So why wait? Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today to find your local dealer, shop the latest vehicles, and schedule your service appointment. ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 2:07. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. And so I have a weekend without kids. I do not know what to do with my own self. I woke up early, so all my chores are done. I washed all the dishes. I vacuumed. I swept under the beds. I did those 15 loads of laundry. I cleaned all the bathrooms. Because I got somewhere I want to go tonight. Mm-hmm, honey. I am stepping out. Y'all know I lost these little 18 ounces, so I think I'm cute. I went to White House Black Market and got me an outfit, because I am going over to Art in the Alley in Minneapolis. Now, it's from 3 o'clock to 8 o'clock today, so as soon as I'm done with this show, I'm hopping in the 9-seater, because even though I don't have the kids, I still have the kid van. I don't have a weekend car. I need me a weekend convertible or something. Maybe when I get a new boyfriend, he'll be rich and he'll buy me a convertible for my birthday. But it's tonight from 3 to 8, and it's vibrant, it's creative, it's Art in the Alley, and it's presented by Rojo Collective. And so I said, hey, who is in charge at the Rojo Collective? Oh, it's my friend Carrie Deans. Well, I got to get her on the show to talk to me about Art in the Alley. She's joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Carrie, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, friend.
Now, Art in the Alley, it's fun, it's art, it's food, it's creatives coming together. Tell me all about it.
Yes, we are so excited today. The artists are here getting ready and getting set up. This is an event that we're so excited to present to the community and to our Twin Cities folks. We are having Art in the Alley, which is members from the Rojo Collective, which is a nonprofit organization that serves artists of color here in the Twin Cities. And we have about 15 to 20 artists this afternoon doing live work and selling their work. So it's going to be so fun. And then we also invited some other folks to come and hang out with us so there can be a little food, a little nibble, some music, and all sorts of stuff this afternoon to have fun outside.
Yeah, and it is a beautiful day for it. Now, is this the first year that this event has happened? Is this something that goes on every year?
You know, Art in the Alley has happened a few years. We have a beautiful relationship with the owners of Martin Patrick III right here in the North Loop, and that's the alley that we're going to be in, 212 North 3rd Street in Minneapolis. And so this is the third or fourth year, Ms. Shaletta, that we have done this event. And then, of course, I have to add, we have some kid activities. So even though you're kid-free this weekend, if you don't happen to be so lucky, you can certainly bring your kids and we'll have activities for them as well.
Now, talk to me about some of the artists who are going to be featured at today's event. And again, it's from 3 to 8 in the North Loop. It's Art in the Alley.
Yes. We have some incredible artists. We have some new artists and some returning artists. One of our newer artists, Taylor, is going to be doing some airbrushing work and selling those shirts and shoes that she's airbrushing on site. How cool is that? We have artist Tanika Grave, who does wood burning, and she makes jewelry with this wood burning tool. It's so cool. And then we have some visual artists, our North Side grandfather, Dr. Charles Caldwell, will be here doing some live work and selling work. So there's so many artists with so many different mediums that we'll be having today.
That is going to be so amazing. And, you know, without this opportunity, a lot of those artists wouldn't get a chance to showcase their work. Talk to me about how providing a space like this is so important to those creatives making connections and making a dollar so they can keep doing their work.
Absolutely. A part of our mission with Rojo Collective is to really eliminate that term, starving artist. We want artists of color, especially, to be able to make connections and to be able to thrive, not just in work, but in life and business. And so providing them opportunities where they can get in front of an audience, where they can have a conversation, and where they can show and sell their work helps ensure their success and makes them have great connections with a wider and broader audience. So we're so appreciative of being able to be in the North Loop, partnering with Martin Patrick, and giving them this opportunity.
And this alley, tell us exactly where it is. And this event is free, right?
Yes, it's absolutely free. Free to the public. We are, again, in the alley between Martin Patrick and the Hewing in the North Loop. So that's going to be 212 North 3rd Street in Minneapolis. 3rd Avenue North, not Street.
Okay, 3rd Avenue North. And, you know, the partnerships that you've created to put this on, how important is it? Because you can't do this by yourself. You need their alley. You need their space. You need, you know, that connection so that you can do works like this and help these artists go from just, you know, surviving to thriving.
Absolutely. As a grassroots organization that is really trying to have such a high impact with artists here in the Twin Cities, partnerships for us are absolutely key. We don't have a brick and mortar yet. And so it's something that we absolutely love to build these relationships and to create beautiful spaces and memories and events where the space is available. And then we can provide that to our artists and all just have a big community love fest, which is what we're going to do today.
And that is today from 3 to 8 o'clock. It is Art in the Alley. It is free. So while you're out looking for something fun to do, since we have this beautiful day and evening ahead of us, this is one of those events. Okay, so I don't have any kids. I'm going to come and I'm going to be away from any kids. Like if there's kids there, I'm going to be going in the opposite direction. But this is a family-friendly event where people can come and enjoy this artwork and buy the artwork. You know, it's one thing to say you support these artists, but it's another thing to actually buy their work and purchase it and you know, take a picture and post about it and tweet about it. And so even though the event is free, I want us to bring our pocketbooks. I want us to bring our checkbook. I want us to bring our PayPal, our Venmo, our cash, our debit and credit card so that we can buy something and and put it up in our house and then post about it on social media and say, you know what? The Rojo Collective was having this event or in the alley, and I bought this this portrait. I bought this wood. I bought this outfit. I bought, you know, this whatever it is, and I put it up in my house. And this is how you find this artist. And that is what, you know, the modern day version of support looks like. You know, people used to say, well, tell your friends about it. You tell your friends about it by posting a picture on social media.
That's right. And, you know, what's cool about this event is that there are going to be so many different artworks to purchase at so many different price points that there really is something for everybody. I'll tell you, when the artists are here setting up, I'm already like, ooh, I want that. Ooh, I want that. Ooh, I want that. So I've already had my eye on stuff. And so I have my pocketbook out for my own members, which our house is filled with our artists' work. But again, price points for everybody. Start a collection. If you're looking to be an art collector, this is how you start, with artists that are right in your backyard that have amazing stories. So you'll be able to talk to all of them and connect with all of them. So it'll be really great.
Yeah, my grandmother used to tell me charity begins at home. You don't have to go and purchase art when you go on vacation in New York or in L.A. We have some amazing artists right here in the Twin Cities, and they will be on display tonight from 3 to 8 at Art in the Alley. It's right behind Martin Patrick, 212 North 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. And I'm telling you, girl, that North Loop is popping. I drove through that the other day, and I thought I was in Soho or the Bronx or something. I was like, let me pull the car over and just walk around and enjoy, you know, this, you know, the upgrades and the updates and the new restaurants and the new places. And it's really nice over there. And I felt like I was transported to another part of the country. So I'm just excited about the expansion and the growth in that community. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You're so right. It's a beautiful day. There's so many things happening. The Aquatennial, the fireworks. Just come hang out in the city.
Yes. Okay, so we got artists. We got live art demos. We got music. We got spoken word. We've got performances and food trucks. I'm going to be over there as soon as I get off the show, if I can get through the last segment, because I heard food truck. Today from 3 to 8 p.m., 212 North 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. Kira, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Ms. Shaletta. I sure appreciate it.
All right. And you all stick around. We've got more to come. It is 2:20. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. Josh, I don't know how fast you're working over there, but they are calling for that Governor Tim Walz interview. Some folks want to know what he said, and they want to know how they can click on the link. I tell you, you do not want to miss this show, because you never know who's going to stop by, who we're going to be talking to. You can always go to WCCORadio.com and look for my show page, and there you will find links to all of the interviews from today. So our chat with Christy Peele about Snoop Dogg and how he went from becoming and rapping about being America's Most Wanted on trial for murder to holding the torch at the Olympics and representing Team USA. That whole life cycle should be a case study in somebody's PR class, in somebody's media class at somebody's university. They need to be talking about how that PR team that Snoop Dogg has in place got him from being on trial for murder, people burning his CDs at the time and albums when they used to sell them, you know, canceling his shows, banning his music on certain radio stations, to now he is a representative of the United States of America at the Olympic Games. He's holding the torch. Yeah. So whoever is on his PR team, they need to be teaching a class. We need to be studying this. Because in an era where we're canceling people, and they call it cancel culture, Snoop Dogg has somehow stood the test of time. And I posted about it on social media, and folks are lining up to comment. You know, I'm an old white lady, and I love Snoop Dogg. That is a quote on one of my social media posts, a comment that somebody put up. And so, you know, folks have not been able to withstand some of the smallest things in their careers. And then you never hear from them again or you wonder what happened to them, or they wind up on an episode of one of those Where Are They Now shows. And somehow Snoop Dogg just kept rapping, kept living, voicing cartoon commercials. There's a whole generation of kids that have never heard a Snoop Dogg song. They don't even know he's a rapper. My kids love him in some of their favorite cartoon movies. And they know Snoop Dogg as a voiceover artist and an actor. They don't know Snoop Dogg the rapper. They don't know Clarence Brodus. And so when they found out one day, it was so funny. They were like, "Mom, did you know Snoop Dogg was a rapper?" And I said, "Oh, yes, honey, I know. Daddy and I used to listen to him when we were young kids. When we were, you know, in our early 20s. He was one of our favorite rappers." And they said, "Oh, we should totally listen to some of his songs. Let's search it up." I was like, no, no, let's just watch Turbo. We'll listen to him in Turbo. Go get a movie or something that you enjoy watching Snoop Dogg on your movies. Don't search up Snoop Dogg the rapper. Mama don't want you to know Snoop Dogg like that. We can quote his movie lines. We can't quote his rap lyrics. We're not going to do that. So the fact that he has just crossed over to now his third generation of fans, and who don't know anything about him going on trial for murder, who don't know anything about people banning and burning his music, who don't know anything about that case and you know what he overcame, they're just excited to see him at the Olympics. They're like, "Mom, Snoop Dogg's holding the torch." I'm like, "Honey, I know. I see. That's amazing." But, you know, I'm telling you, one of my girlfriends is saying Martha Stewart helped his image. That pairing was genius. She needed a boost, and so did he. Worked perfectly. You know, the funniest thing about Snoop Dogg's combination with Martha Stewart, she's the felon. She is the one with rap sheet. She is the felon. She is the one who's been to jail. If you had told me back in 1990, that Snoop Dogg would be working with Martha Stewart, I tell you, you were crazy. If you had a crystal ball, I was like, why would Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg even be in the same room together? But then if you went even further with that synopsis and said that between the two of them, she would be the convicted felon with a rap sheet and a stint in jail, I probably would have laughed you out of the room. And here we are in the year of our Lord, 20 and 24. And that is absolutely the case. It was so good talking to Governor Tim Walz. And I hate that our conversation didn't last as long as it should have. He was coming from a rally in St. Paul with some of those notable dignitaries, elected officials that you heard him mention, First Lady, Betty McCollum, Senator Amy Klobuchar, all there, you know, drumming up support and talking about Vice President Harris. And I was hoping that we would have more time together, because one of the things that I wanted to ask him about was, you know, with all eyes being on Minnesota, this is the first time that our state has had national attention since George Floyd's murder. And what that means for our state, people are going to be looking at us through a different lens. They're looking at our leaders. They're looking at our policies. They're looking at our laws. They're looking at how our state is governed, how somehow when it's not possible to do in other parts of the country, our Republicans and our Democrats and our independents are able to work together to fund autism officer training, to make sure that children have free lunch and they don't have to go hungry during the school day. The funds and the services that they provide for families who have children with autism are amazing. I have people coming up to me every day saying they moved from another state to come here because they saw the resources and services that my kids get, the progress that they're making, and they want the same for their children. I was just talking to a mama yesterday in Beaumont, Texas, who's trying to figure out how she can find a job here. My friend Jocelyn, who moved up here from Georgia because she saw all the services and the progress that my kids were making, and moved her six children and her husband up here with no job so that she could be a part of what we are doing in the state of Minnesota for families like mine who have kids with autism. And so it is you know, I just wanted to get his thoughts on that, but we ran out of time. But you know, I know that if Vice President Kamala Harris picks him to be her running mate, which is a possibility, he's on the short list. The first thing that the opponents are going to do is cue up that beautiful beam footage. They're going to show that video of our city burning down after George Floyd died. And, you know, I really wanted to get his reaction to that and how he would counter that if we saw that scenario play out. Because that was just a dark time in our city, in our state. And nothing like that had ever happened here before. We were shook as citizens. Our leaders were shook. But I'm looking at where we are now and how we were seeing a boom in downtown Minneapolis. You know, we've got, you know, a new police chief and crime is down. You know, he was just at a block party, Chief Brian O'Hare, at Shiloh Temple in North Minneapolis, hopscotching and double dutching with the kids. Those relationships between government and police and people starts one event at a time, one person at a time, one family at a time, one block at a time. And so we are seeing a resurgence and a rebuilding of trust and relationship between politician, police, and people. And that's not what is going to be shown if Governor Tim Walz is selected to be vice presidential running mate for Kamala Harris. They're going to show that George Floyd video. That's just what's going to happen. And, you know, that is so traumatic and triggering for a lot of us here in the Twin Cities. And so we're going to have to revisit that. We're going to have to figure out our way back to that spot and talk about how we have healed, how we have overcome, and some of the things that we still have yet to do since his murder. We'll be right back. I'm so excited about my friend Steve Thompson joining me on the show. You know, I tell you, Steve, I keep pushing it back every time. You know, you're like, I'm like, Steve, can you come on and talk to me? And you're like, yeah, what time? I was like, 2:45 or 2:30. The sooner I can get you on, the better. I love it. I love having you on the show.
You had the governor on earlier, so, I mean, hey. You know, this is a big step down to from the governor to me.
Yeah, I had a drink between that, and so I think I'm going to be okay. But I have to ask you, Steve, you know, you are a big sports fanatic, but what about your Olympics? See, we haven't really chatted about the Olympics. Are you really into it? Like, I had Christy Peel on the show. She's like an Olympic nerd. Like, she's sitting up and watching everything. She's got the Comcast. She's got the Peacock. Because, you know, they've got it now on Comcast with Peacock that there you can stream every single thing. You know, it used to be that we were at the mercy of NBC or whoever was broadcasting, and whatever they showed, we could watch. Whatever they didn't show, we didn't get to see. But now you can see everything.
Yeah, I still like the biggies. I like the swimming, I like the track, and I like the gymnastics because, as you know, Aaron insisted we go to the gymnastics trial and see the greatest of all time in person, Simone Biles. So that's a great experience. But you know, I am definitely into it. That's for sure. I think Team USA is going to win gold. Men's and women's basketball, they should win gold. But I do catch some of the other sports outside of those biggies, but that's my focus. Aaron and I, my daughter is a huge fan of the Olympics, very into it. This is just, you know, she is locked in. But we talked about what is our favorite moment, if you had to pick one moment that you could remember about the Olympics. And I would have to say the great Usain Bolt in the 200 meters at the peak of his power. Because the 100's cool because, you know, it's that 100-meter sprint straight away. But the 200 is spectacular to me because they start on the backstretch And when they round that corner heading for home, they're going full speed. And then you see Usain Bolt at the peak of his powers, just blowing by everybody and everyone in their own right in that final is a world-class sprinter. That, to me, is the peak of human athletic achievement, what Bolt did when he was at the top of his game. So, yeah, track mm-hmm. is just incredible. Swimming's incredible. Gymnastics, having a chance to see Simone Biles. But I think some of the other stuff, the weightlifting, the boxing, the other sports, the diving, I mean, it's all very impressive.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the gymnastics. I'm with your daughter. I love seeing those girls flipping and twirling around. The guys are really popular again this year. My all-time favorite was Mary Lou Redden. You remember Mary Lou Redden? I remember watching her as a young girl, and it was just amazing to see what she could do and how the whole world fell in love with her. And she was on the cover of the boxes of cereal. I didn't even eat the damn cereal. I just wanted the cereal because she was on the box, and I would cut the, you know, cardboard off the box and, you know, had her picture up at the house, and just so empowering and so energetic and so engaging and just smiling all the time. She was just like a ray of light and sunshine. I just love that.
Yeah, and they put in so much work. In this country, we're so focused on, say, the NFL at the pro level. NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball or the WNBA is getting a lot of headlines, and rightfully so, with all the great stars in that league and the NHL. And they work hard, but they're on TV all the time. You know, they're interviewed all the time. These people that are participating in some of these sports, the limelight doesn't come along very often for gymnastics or swimming or, for that matter, track. And these are incredible athletes. Any of these Olympic sports, extraordinary. But, you know, for them to get, you know, a two-week moment in the sun is pretty cool. It's very enjoyable in all these countries and people from around the world, the different stories. And I do like hearing some of the stories and how these athletes got to this point. It's great stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, we've got all eyes on the Olympics, but Steve, all eyes are on Minnesota because Trump is having a rally tonight in St. Cloud. J.D. Vance is here. Governor Walz is at a rally with McCullough and Klobuchar and the First Lady. I mean, I love that everybody is looking at us and they're paying attention to us. I don't know about you, but it makes me feel special.
Yeah, it is. You've got to tip your cap to the people that are willing to, you know, stand in line and get into these rallies. And, you know, I appreciate their passion. I'm not going to sit outside for 7-8 hours in the hot sun waiting to get into a rally. It's not something I'm going to do. But there is a lot of passion, and I think it is democracy at work. And the only thing I hope is that everybody gets out and votes. If you're eligible mm-hmm. to vote, register to vote, get out and vote, have your voice heard. We should never take that for granted. Whatever side you're on, you know, if you are eligible to vote, you should vote. I'm a big believer in that it's important. And when I had that opportunity, I don't know how you felt about it, Shaletta, but when I turned 18, it's always felt important to me to make sure that I get out and cast my ballot. Now, there's some elections that I've missed or whatever, but not very many, particularly presidential elections and big statewide offices. But as soon as I was eligible to vote, I've taken it very seriously and get out there.
And I, you know, for me, Steve, whenever I go vote, it's a real emotional time because I start thinking about all of the folks who look like me who died, who lost their lives, who, you know, left their homes and lost jobs and livelihoods to go down south and register people to vote. And you know, the risk that they took, you know, people like Dr. Josie Johnson, who are still alive. You know what I mean? This is not like a something that happened 100 years ago. This, you know, this is very recent history. And so, you know, when I go vote, you know, I take my kids with me because I want them to see, you know, how important it is. And so the last time, I don't know what came over me, Steve. I don't know if I was going through menopause or my medication was off, but I just started crying. And so my kids were like, what is wrong with you? What are you crying for? And I said, you know, we are in line to vote and nobody's burning the cross in front of our yard. There are no dogs out here. You know, I don't feel threatened by the person in front of me or behind me. I have just enough right to be here as they do. And so, you know, it just didn't get lost on me. The years and generations of people who fought and some of them died so that I could have a right to vote. And I just wanted to share that with my kids because they thought I was going crazy, which I might have been going crazy, Steve, because crazy is my middle name. But I just needed them to know how important voting in that moment was. OK, so when we come back, Steve, I got to ask you, we got to talk just a little bit politics. Because I got to know what you think Governor Tim Walz's chances are of actually becoming the vice presidential running mate for Kamala Harris. I'm going to ask Steve that question and I'm going to need an answer when we come back. Baby, it was raining at the opening games at the Olympics last night. That opening ceremony, it was a torrential downpour. Did you see that, Steve? Like, they were on those boats and it was raining and the water was choppy. I was scared for a few of them. I'm not going to lie. I was like, this is not going to end well if one of these boats tip over.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of it. I saw some of the highlights and then some of the commentary on social media. That was interesting. I'll sum it up by saying the opening ceremonies were very French. That
right. Very Hunger Game-ish.
Yeah, it was interesting. That's for sure.
It was different. I was like, who is in the silver suit riding on the horse? If they take that mask off and it's Kim Kardashian, I'm not watching anything. I was like, it better not be Kim Kardashian. That's all I know. I was like, just please, whatever y'all do, don't pull Kim Kardashian off of that horse. I don't think they ever showed who was in like the silver suit person who was riding on a horse. I thought that at some point they were gonna reveal who that was. I think they missed a moment there, but it was a little extra for me, Steve. I'm not gonna lie, it was a lot.
Well, and the one thing I thought is that Lady Gaga had a big spot, and then Celine Dion had a huge spot.
Yes.
And they're from North America. They're not French. And that was really interesting that they had major roles in that thing last night.
Yeah, it was good to see some people I knew, like Tony Parker. Yeah. You know, I was like, oh, yeah, he was over here playing for San Antonio, but he is French. He's from France. And, you know, you kind of forget about that when you're watching sports, that, you know, there's so much that brings us together. Now, they you know, politics is bringing some folks together, Steve. You had this morning Governor Walz, Betty McCollum, Klobuchar, and the First Lady. They were all at a rally. Mayor Melvin Carter, they were all at a rally here today. Before he came on my show, he was actually supposed to be on from 1:30 to 2, but was only on from 1:45 to 2 because of the rally, and it went long because so many people were there. What do you think his chances are of actually being the vice president? Because, you know, Minnesota, we good at vice presidents. I think we got, what, two? Humphreys and Mondale. Did we have any more vice presidents from Minnesota?
He would be
three.
Yeah, he's certainly on the short list. I think it's probably going to be, if it were my pick, I would go with Senator Kelly from Arizona, astronaut, Navy veteran. His wife Gabby Giffords was in Congress. I think he would be a strong, no disrespect to Governor Walz, but I think they're going to look at states strategically where maybe they can get a little help. And I think the Democrats need help in Arizona. I think that might help. Shapiro from Pennsylvania is certainly a name you hear a lot, but yeah, he's on the list and I think that's flattering, but I would think he's probably second or third or fourth on that list. I don't think he'll get it, but I could be wrong. What about you? What do you think?
Can I just say that I'm surprised at his rise in popularity, especially among young people. You know, everything he's saying now, they're putting it on TikTok. It's going viral. So I'm more surprised that, you know, especially for the younger voters who were like, no more old white guys, that he's an old white guy that somehow they're identifying with. Like, they're posting his stuff and they're making up words and names. And, you know, I found my son name dropping him. I'm like, what are you doing? It's about, oh, I was just talking to my friends, you know, letting them know I know Governor Walz. I was like, you haven't said Governor Walz's name in like 2 years since the last time you saw him. What are you talking about? But, you know, it's like hip and pop. He's like hip and popular now, which goes against everything these young people are saying, because they were like, we don't want any more old white guys. And, you know, here comes the old white guy.
Yeah. And I think it is, you know, based on what he's been able to accomplish, you know, he certainly has his critics, but it definitely fits that narrative of, you know, free school lunch, you know, all of these different things that he's done in this state. He is a very progressive governor, and I think that would play well with a lot of people in the party. I just don't know if it plays into the strategy of, hey, we need to win Arizona, we need to win Pennsylvania, we need to win, you know, some of these other states. You know, does Walz play well in those other parts of the country? You know,
yeah.
I
don't know, but I'm just surprised at his rise in popularity, especially with you know, everything that, you know, these young people have been saying they don't want. You know, they're calling them like everybody's favorite uncle.
Well, and it is, because the DFL, and there are critics, there's no question, but the DFL, with control of the Senate and the House, were able to get a lot of things done, a lot of progressive agenda things done that, you know, is getting attention around the country. So, you know, here's a guy, his governor, has gotten a lot of things done that, you know, not all support, but some certainly do.
Yeah. Okay, so what you got coming up on your show before you go?
Yeah, abbreviated show, Twins Tigers, lineup card 4:30. We'll have Doug. We'll do some tag talk, and then a lot of Twins talk ahead of that lineup card at 4:30.
All right, well, y'all stick around for Steve, and thank you for joining me on The Shaletta Show. See you next weekend. It is 2:07. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. And so I have a weekend without kids. I do not know what to do with my own self. I woke up early, so all my chores are done. I washed all the dishes. I vacuumed. I swept under the beds. I did those 15 loads of laundry. I cleaned all the bathrooms. Because I got somewhere I want to go tonight. Honey, I am stepping out. Y'all know I lost these little 18 ounces, so I think I'm cute. I went to White House Black Market and got me an outfit, because I am going over to Art in the Alley in Minneapolis. Now, it's from 3:00 to 8:00 today. So as soon as I'm done with the show, I'm hopping in the 9-seater, because even though I don't have the kids, I still have the kid van. I don't have a weekend car. I need me a weekend convertible or something. Maybe when I get a new boyfriend, he'll be rich and he'll buy me a convertible for my birthday. But it's tonight from 3 to 8, and it's vibrant. It's creative. It's Art in the Alley, and it's presented by Rojo Collective. And so I said, hey, who is in charge at the Rojo Collective? Oh, it's my friend Carrie Deans. Well, I got to get her on the show to talk to me about Art in the Alley. She's joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Carrie, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, friend.
Now, Art in the Alley, it's fun, it's art, it's food, it's creatives coming together. Tell me all about it.
Yes, we are so excited today. The artists are here getting ready and getting set up. This is an event that we're so excited to present to the community and to our Twin Cities folks. We are having Art in the Alley, which is members from the Rojo Collective, which is a nonprofit organization that serves artists of color here in the Twin Cities. And we have about 15 to 20 artists this afternoon doing live work and selling their work. So it's going to be so fun. And then we also invited some
other folks to come and hang out with us. So there can be a little food, a little nibble, some music, and all sorts of stuff this afternoon to have fun outside.
Yeah, and it is a beautiful day for it. Now, is this the first year that this event has happened? Is this something that goes on every year?
You know, Art in the Alley has happened a few years. We have a beautiful relationship with the owners of Martin Patrick III right here in the North Loop, and that's the alley that we're going to be in, 212 North 3rd Street in Minneapolis. And so this is the third or fourth year, Ms. Shaletta, that we have done this event. And then, of course, I have to add, we have some kid activities. So even though you're kid-free this weekend, if you don't happen to be so lucky, you can certainly bring your kids and we'll have activities for them as well.
Now, talk to me about some of the artists who are going to be featured at today's event. And again, it's from 3 to 8 in the North Loop. It's Art in the Alley.
Yes. We have some incredible artists. We have some new artists and some returning artists. One of our newer artists, Taylor, is going to be doing some airbrushing work and selling those shirts and shoes that she's airbrushing on site. How cool is that? We have artist Tanika Grave, who does wood burning, and she makes jewelry with this wood burning tool. It's so cool. And then we have some visual artists, our North Side grandfather, Dr. Charles Codwell, will be here doing some live work and selling work. So there's so many artists with so many different mediums that we'll be having today.
That is going to be so amazing. And, you know, without this opportunity, a lot of those artists wouldn't get a chance to showcase their work. Talk to me about how providing a space like this is so important to those creatives making connections and making a dollar so they can keep doing their work.
Absolutely. A part of our mission with Rojo Collective is to really eliminate that term, starving artists. We want artists of color, especially, to be able to make connections and to be able to thrive, not just in work, but in life and business. And so providing them opportunities where they can get in front of an audience, where they can have a conversation, and where they can show and sell their work helps ensure their success and makes them have great connections with a wider and broader audience. So we're so appreciative of being able to be in the North Loop, partnering with Martin Patrick, and giving them this opportunity.
And this alley, tell us exactly where it is. And this event is free, right?
Yes, it's absolutely free. Free to the public. We are, again, in the alley between Martin Patrick and the Hewing in the North Loop. So that's going to be 212 North 3rd. Street in Minneapolis. Third Avenue North, not street.
Okay, Third Avenue North. And, you know, the partnerships that you've created to put this on, how important is it? Because you can't do this by yourself. You need their alley. You need their space. You need, you know, that connection so that you can do works like this and help these artists go from just, you know, surviving to thriving.
Absolutely. As a grassroots organization that is really trying to have such a high impact with artists here in the Twin Cities, partnerships for us are absolutely key. We don't have a brick and mortar yet. And so it's something that we absolutely love to build these relationships and to create beautiful spaces and memories and events where the space is available, and then we can provide that to our artists and all just have a big community love fest, which is what we're going to do today.
And that is today from 3 to 8 o'clock. It is Art in the Alley. It is free. So while you're out looking for something fun to do, since we have this beautiful day and evening ahead of us, this is one of those events. Okay, so I don't have any kids. I'm going to come, and I'm going to be away from any kids. Like, if there's kids there, I'm going to be going in the opposite direction. But this is a family-friendly event where people can come and enjoy this artwork and buy the artwork. You know, it's one thing to say you support these artists, but it's another thing to actually buy their work and purchase it and you know, take a picture and post about it and tweet about it. And so even though the event is free, I want us to bring our pocketbooks. I want us to bring our checkbook. I want us to bring our PayPal, our Venmo, our cash, our debit and credit card, so that we can buy something and put it up in our house and then post about it on social media and say, you know what? The Rojo Collective was having this event or in the alley, and I bought this this portrait. I bought this wood. I bought this outfit. I bought, you know, this whatever it is, and I put it up in my house. And this is how you find this artist. And that is what, you know, the modern day version of support looks like. You know, people used to say, well, tell your friends about it. You tell your friends about it by posting a picture on social media.
That's right. And, you know, what's cool about this event is that there are going to be so many different artworks to purchase at so many different price points that there really is something for everybody. I'll tell you, when the artists are here setting up, I'm already like, ooh, I want that. Ooh, I want that. Ooh, I want that. So I've already had my eye on stuff. And so I have my pocketbook out for my own members, which our house is filled with our artists' work. But again, price points for everybody. Start a collection. If you're looking to be an art collector, this is how you start, with artists that are right in your backyard that have amazing stories. So you'll be able to talk to all of them and connect with all of them. So it'll be really great.
Yeah, my grandmother used to tell me charity begins at home. You don't have to go and purchase art when you go on vacation in New York or in L.A. We have some amazing artists right here in the Twin Cities, and they will be on display tonight from 3 to 8 at Art in the Alley. It's right behind Martin Patrick, 212 North 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. And I'm telling you, girl, that North Loop is popping. I drove through that the other day, and I thought I was in Soho or the Bronx or something. I was like, let me pull the car over and just walk around and enjoy, you know, this, you know, the upgrades and the updates and the new restaurants and the new places. And it's really nice over there. And I felt like I was transported to another part of the country. So I'm just excited about the expansion and the growth in that community. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You're so right. It's a beautiful day. There's so many things happening. The Aquatennial, the fireworks. Just come hang out in the city.
Yes. Okay. So we got artists. We got live art demos. We got music. We got spoken word. We've got performances and food trucks. I'm going to be over there as soon as I get off the show, if I can get through the last segment, because I heard food truck. Today from 3 to 8 p.m., 212 North 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. Kira, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Ms. Shaletta. I sure appreciate it.
All right. And you all stick around. We've got more to come. It is 2:20. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. Josh, I don't know how fast you're working over there, but they are calling for that Governor Tim Walz interview. Some folks want to know what he said, and they want to know how they can click on the link. I tell you, you do not want to miss this show, because you never know who's going to stop by, who we're going to be talking to. You can always go to WCCORadio.com and look for my show page, and there you will find links to all of the interviews from today. So our chat with Christy Peele about Snoop Dogg and how he went from becoming and rapping about being America's Most Wanted on trial for murder to holding the torch at the Olympics and representing Team USA. That whole life cycle should be a case study in somebody's PR class, in somebody's media class at somebody's university. They need to be talking about how that PR team that Snoop Dogg has in place got him from being on trial for murder, people burning his CDs at the time and albums when they used to sell them, you know, canceling his shows, banning his music on certain radio stations, to now he is a representative of the United States of America at the Olympic Games. He's holding the torch. Yeah. So whoever is on his PR team, they need to be teaching a class. We need to be studying this. Because in an era where we're canceling people, and they call it cancel culture, Snoop Dogg has somehow stood the test of time. And I posted about it on social media, and folks are lining up to comment. You know, I'm an old white lady and I love Snoop Dogg. That is a quote on one of my social media posts, a comment that somebody put up. And so, you know, folks have not been able to withstand some of the smallest things in their careers. And then you never hear from them again. or you wonder what happened to them, or they wind up on an episode of one of those Where Are They Now shows. And somehow Snoop Dogg just kept rapping, kept living, voicing cartoon commercials. There's a whole generation of kids that have never heard a Snoop Dogg song. They don't even know he's a rapper. My kids love him in some of their favorite cartoon movies. And they know Snoop Dogg as a voiceover artist and an actor. They don't know Snoop Dogg the rapper. They don't know Clarence Brodus. And so when they found out one day, it was so funny. They were like, Mom, did you know Snoop Dogg was a rapper? And I said, oh, yes, honey, I know. Daddy and I used to listen to him when we were young kids. When we were, you know, in our early 20s. He was one of our favorite rappers. And they said, oh, we should totally listen to some of his songs. Let's search it up. I was like, no. Let's just watch Turbo. We'll listen to him in Turbo. Go get a movie or something that you enjoy watching Snoop Dogg on your movies. Don't search up Snoop Dogg the rapper. Mama don't want you to know Snoop Dogg like that. We can quote his movie lines. We can't quote his rap lyrics. We're not going to do that. So the fact that he has just crossed over to now his third generation of fans, and who don't know anything about him going on trial for murder, who don't know anything about people banning and burning his music, who don't know anything about that case and you know what he overcame, they're just excited to see him at the Olympics. They're like, Mom, Snoop Dogg's holding the torch. I'm like, honey, I know, I see, that's amazing. But you know, I'm telling you, one of my girlfriends is saying Martha Stewart helped his image. That pairing was genius. She needed a boost, and so did he. Worked perfectly. You know the funniest thing about Snoop Dogg's combination with Martha Stewart? She's the felon. She is the one with rap sheet. She is the felon. She is the one who's been to jail. If you had told me back in 1987, 1988, 1990, that Snoop Dogg will be working with Martha Stewart, I tell you, you were crazy. If you had a crystal ball, I was like, why would Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg even be in the same room together? But then if you went even further with that synopsis and said that between the two of them, she would be the convicted felon with a rap sheet and a stint in jail, I probably would have laughed you out of the room. And here we are. In the year of our Lord, 20 and 24. And that is absolutely the case. It was so good talking to Governor Tim Walz. And I hate that our conversation didn't last as long as it should have. He was coming from a rally in St. Paul with some of those notable dignitaries, elected officials that you heard him mention. First Lady, Betty McCollum, Senator Amy Klobuchar. All there, you know, drumming up support and talking about Vice President Harris. And I was hoping that we would have more time together, because one of the things that I wanted to ask him about was, you know, with all eyes being on Minnesota, this is the first time that our state has had national attention since George Floyd's murder. And what that means for our state, people are going to be looking at us through a different lens. They're looking at our leaders. They're looking at our policies. They're looking at our laws. They're looking at how our state is governed, how somehow when it's not possible to do in other parts of the country, our Republicans and our Democrats and our independents are able to work together to fund autism officer training, to make sure that children have free lunch and they don't have to go hungry during the school day. The funds and the services that they provide for families who have children with autism are amazing. I have people coming up to me every day saying they moved from another state to come here because they saw the resources and services that my kids get, the progress that they're making, and they want the same for their children. I was just talking to a mama yesterday in Beaumont, Texas, who's trying to figure out how she can find a job here. My friend Jocelyn, who moved up here from Georgia because she saw all the services and the progress that my kids were making, and moved her six children and her husband up here with no job so that she could be a part of what we are doing in the state of Minnesota for families like mine who have kids with autism. And so it is you know, I just wanted to get his thoughts on that, but we ran out of time. But you know, I know that if Vice President Kamala Harris picks him to be her running mate, which is a possibility, he's on the short list. The first thing that the opponents are going to do is cue up that beautiful beam footage. They're going to show that video of our city burning down after George Floyd died. And, you know, I really wanted to get his reaction to that and how he would counter that if we saw that scenario play out. Because that was just a dark time in our city, in our state. And nothing like that had ever happened here before. We were shook as citizens. Our leaders were shook. But I'm looking at where we are now and how we were seeing a boom in downtown Minneapolis. You know, we've got, you know, a new police chief and crime is down. You know, he was just at a block party, Chief Brian O'Hare, at Shiloh Temple in North Minneapolis, hopscotching and double dutching with the kids. Those relationships between government and police and people starts one event at a time, one person at a time, one family at a time, one block at a time. And so we are seeing a resurgence and a rebuilding of trust and relationship between politician, police, and people. And that's not what is going to be shown if Governor Tim Walz is selected to be vice presidential running mate for Kamala Harris. They're going to show that George Floyd video. That's just what's going to happen. And you know, that is so traumatic and triggering for a lot of us here in the Twin Cities. And so we're going to have to revisit that. We're going to have to figure out our way back to that spot and talk about how we have healed, how we have overcome, and some of the things that we still have yet to do since his murder. We'll be right back. I'm so excited about my friend Steve Thompson joining me on the show. You know, I tell you, Steve, I keep pushing it back every time. You know, you're like, I'm like, Steve, can you come on and talk to me? And you're like, yeah, what time? I was like, 2:45 or 2:30.
Oh, no,
the sooner I can get you on, the better. I love it. I love having you on the show.
You had the governor on earlier, so, I mean, hey. You know, this is a big step down to from the governor to me.
Yeah, I had a drink between there, and so I think I'm going to be okay. But I have to ask you, Steve, you know, you are a big sports fanatic, but what about your Olympics? See, we haven't really chatted about the Olympics. Are you really into it? Like, I had Christy Peel on the show. She's like an Olympic nerd. Like, she's sitting up and watching everything. She's got the Comcast. She's got the Peacock. Because, you know, they've got it now on Comcast with Peacock that they're, you can stream every single thing. You know, it used to be that we were at the mercy of NBC or whoever was broadcasting, and whatever they showed, we could watch. Whatever they didn't show, we didn't get to see. But now you can see everything.
Yeah, I still like the biggies. I like the swimming, I like the track, and I like the gymnastics because, as you know, Aaron insisted we go to the gymnastics trial and see the greatest of all time in person, Simone Biles. So that's a great experience. But, you know, I am definitely into it, that's for sure. I think Team USA is going to win gold, men's and women's basketball. They should win gold. But I do catch some of the other sports outside of those biggies, but that's my focus. Aaron and I, my daughter is a huge fan of the Olympics, very into it. This is just, you know, she is locked in. But we talked about what is our favorite moment, if you had to pick one moment that you can remember about the Olympics. And I would have to say the great Usain Bolt in the 200 meters at the peak of his power. Because the 100's cool because, you know, it's that 100-meter sprint straight away. But the 200 is spectacular to me because they start on the backstretch. And when they round that corner heading for home, they're going full speed. And then you see Usain Bolt at the peak of his powers, just blowing by everybody, and everyone in their own right in that final is a world-class sprinter. That, to me, is the peak of human athletic achievement, what Bolt did when he was at the top of his game. So, yeah, track is just incredible. Swimming's incredible. Gymnastics, having a chance to see Simone Biles. But I think some of the other stuff, the weightlifting, the boxing, the other sports, the diving, I mean, it's all very impressive.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the gymnastics. I'm with your daughter. I love seeing those girls flipping and twirling around. The guys are really popular again this year. My all-time favorite was Mary Lou Redden. You remember Mary Lou Redden? I remember watching her as a young girl, and it was just amazing to see what she could do and how the whole world fell in love with her. And she was on the cover of the boxes of cereal. I didn't even eat the damn cereal. I just wanted the cereal because she was on the box, and I would cut the, cardboard off the box and, had her picture up at the house, and just so empowering and so energetic and so engaging and just smiling all the time. She was just like a ray of light and sunshine. I just love that.
Yeah, and they put in so much work. In this country, we're so focused on, say, the NFL at the pro level. NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball or the WNBA is getting a lot of headlines, and rightfully so, with all the great stars in that league and the NHL. And they work hard, but they're on TV all the time. They're interviewed all the time. These people that are participating in some of these sports, the limelight doesn't come along very often for gymnastics or swimming or, for that matter, track. And these are incredible athletes. Any of these Olympic sports, it's ordinary, but, for them to get, a two-week moment in the sun is pretty cool. It's very enjoyable in all these countries and people from around the world, the different stories. And I do like hearing some of the stories and how these athletes got to this point. It's great stuff.
Yeah. And, we've got all eyes on the Olympics, but Steve, all eyes are on Minnesota because Trump is having a rally tonight in St. Cloud. J.D. Vance is here. Governor Walz is at a rally with McCullough and Klobuchar and the First Lady. I mean, I love that everybody is looking at us and they're paying attention to us. I don't know about you, but it makes me feel special.
Yeah, it is. You've got to tip your cap to the people that are willing to, stand in line and get into these rallies. And, I appreciate their passion. I'm not going to sit outside for 7-8 hours in the hot sun waiting to get into a rally. It's not something I'm going to do, but there is a lot of passion, and I think it is democracy at work. And the only thing I hope is that everybody gets out and votes. If you're eligible to vote, register to vote, get out and vote, have your voice heard. We should never take that for granted. Whatever side you're on, if you are eligible to vote, you should vote. I'm a big believer in that it's important. And when I had that opportunity, I don't know how you felt about it, Shaletta, but when I turned 18, it's always felt important to me to make sure that I get out and cast my ballot. Now, there's some elections that I've missed or whatever, but not very many, particularly presidential elections and big statewide offices. But as soon as I was eligible to vote, I've taken it very seriously and get out there.
And for me, Steve, whenever I go vote, it's a real emotional time because I start thinking about all of the folks who look like me who died, who lost their lives, who, left their homes and lost jobs and livelihoods to go down south and register people to vote. The risk that they took, people like Dr. Josie Johnson, who are still alive. You know what I mean? This is not like a something that happened 100 years ago. This, you know, this is very recent history. And so, you know, when I go vote, you know, I take my kids with me because I want them to see, you know, how important it is. And so the last time, I don't know what came over me, Steve. I don't know if I was going through menopause or my medication was off, but I just started crying. And so my kids were like, what is wrong with you? What are you crying for? And I said, you know, we are in line to vote and nobody's burning the cross in front of our yard. There are no dogs out here. You know, I don't feel threatened by the person in front of me or behind me. I have just enough right to be here as they do. And so, you know, it just didn't get lost on me. The years and generations of people who fought and some of them died so that I could have a right to vote. And I just wanted to share that with my kids because they thought I was going crazy, which I might have been going crazy, Steve, because crazy is my middle name. But I just needed them to know how important voting in that moment was. Okay, so when we come back, Steve, I got to ask you, we got to talk just a little bit of politics. Because I got to know what you think Governor Tim Walz's chances are of actually becoming the vice presidential running mate for Kamala Harris. I'm going to ask Steve that question and I'm going to need an answer when we come back. Baby, it was raining at the opening games at the Olympics last night. That opening ceremony, it was a torrential downpour. Did you see that, Steve? Like, they were on those boats and it was raining and the water was choppy. I was scared for a few of them. I'm not going to lie. I was like, this is not going to end well if one of these boats tip over.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of it. I saw some of the highlights and then some of the commentary on social media. That was interesting. I'll sum it up by saying the opening ceremonies were very French.
Right. Very Hunger Game-ish.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. That's for sure.
It was different. I was like, who is in the silver suit riding on the horse? If they take that mask off and it's Kim Kardashian, I'm not watching anything. I was like, it better not be Kim Kardashian. That's all I know. I was like, just please, whatever y'all do, don't pull Kim Kardashian off of that horse. I don't think they ever showed who was in like the silver suit. Who was riding on a horse. I thought that at some point they were going to reveal who that was. I think they missed a moment there, but it was a little extra for me, Steve. I'm not going to lie. It was a lot.
Well, and the one thing I thought is that Lady Gaga had a big spot, and then Celine Dion had a huge spot.
Yes.
And they're from North America. They're not French, and that was really interesting that they had major roles in that thing last night.
Yeah, it was good to see some people I knew, like Tony Parker. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, oh, yeah, he was over here playing for San Antonio, but he is French. He's from France. And, you know, you kind of forget French. About that when you're watching sports, that, you know, there's so much that brings us together. Now, they you know, politics is bringing some folks together, Steve. You had this morning Governor Walz, Betty McCollum, Klobuchar, and the First Lady. They were all at a rally. Mayor Melvin Carter, they were all at a rally here today. Before he came on my show, he was actually supposed to be on from 1:30 to 2, but was only on from 1:45 to 2 because of the rally, and it went long because so many people were there. What do you think his chances are of actually being the vice president? Because, you know, Minnesota, we good at vice presidents. I think we got, what, two? Humphreys and Mondale. Did we have any more vice presidents from Minnesota? He would be three.
Yeah, he's certainly on the short list. I think it's probably going to be. If it were my pick, I would go with Senator Kelly from Arizona, astronaut, Navy veteran. His wife Gabby Giffords was in Congress. I think he would be a strong, no disrespect to Governor Walz, I think they're going to look at states strategically where maybe they can get a little help. And I think the Democrats need help in Arizona. I think that might help. Shapiro from Pennsylvania is certainly a name you hear a lot, but yeah, he's on the list and I think that's flattering, but I would think he's probably second or third or fourth on that list. I don't think he'll get it, but I could be wrong. What about you? What do you think?
Can I just say that I'm surprised at his rise in popularity, especially among young people. You know, everything he's saying now, they're putting it on TikTok. It's going viral. So I'm more surprised that, you know, especially for the younger voters who were like, no more old white guys, that he's an old white guy that somehow they're identifying with. Like, they're posting his stuff and they're making up words and names. And, you know, I found my son name dropping him. I'm like, what are you doing? It's about, oh, I was just talking to my friends, you know, letting them know I know Governor Walz. I was like, you haven't said Governor Walz's name in like 2 years since the last time you saw him. What are you talking about? But, you know, it's like hip and pop. He's like hip and popular now, which goes against everything these young people are saying, because they were like, we don't want any more old white guys. And, you know, here comes the old white guy.
Yeah. And I think it is, you know, based on what he's been able to accomplish, you know, he certainly has his critics, but it definitely fits that narrative of, you know, free school lunch, you know, all of these different things that he's done in this state. He is a very progressive governor. And I think that would play well with a lot of people in the party. I just don't know if it plays into the strategy of, hey, we need to win Arizona, we need to win Pennsylvania, we need to win, you know, some of these other states. You know, does Walz play well in those other parts of the country? You know,
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know, but like I said, I'm just surprised at his rise in popularity, especially with you know, everything that, you know, these young people have been saying they don't want. You know, they're calling them like everybody's favorite uncle.
Well, and it is, because the DFL, and there are critics, there's no question, but the DFL, with control of the Senate and the House, were able to get a lot of things done, a lot of progressive agenda things done that, you know, is getting attention around the country. So, you know, here's a guy, his governor, has gotten a lot of things done that, you know, not all support, but some certainly do.
Yeah. Okay, so what you got coming up on your show before you go?
Yeah, abbreviated show, Twins Tigers, lineup card 4:30. We'll have Doug, we'll do some tag talk, and then a lot of Twins talk ahead of that lineup card at 4:30.
All right, well, y'all stick around for Steve, and thank you for joining me on The Shaletta Show. See you next weekend.